You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Real powerhouses in the house this morning. You know, I had a thought just a moment ago, just before I came up, about a car show. Anybody like car shows? Thank you, Gabe. Anybody like car shows? I like to go to car shows. There's all kinds of different vehicles usually. Some are very powerful, but they're all unique and special, right? And it's like that in the body of Christ. We've got people here that have 1,000 horsepower, right? You know, I look around, I see Barb Barkley and all kinds of people that really have a lot in God to offer. And just, it's a beautiful thing what God has done in hearts, different people's hearts and different people's lives. And then there's other people that are quieter and less, you know, loud, maybe not the color red in a car, maybe a different color, but just really powerful and wonderful in our own ways. And I really got blessed with, I love to watch Riley up front when he's worshiping. I don't even know if he's here. Hey, how are you? You blessed me. And not just you, but especially you today, just, and other times, but other folks here, when Gabe just pulls the string back, you know, and lets it go, it's just a powerful thing. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, right? And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to bless his name and to be thankful. I love the theme of today. Sarah kind of, I think she got right on that, right on the heart of God, and I think she found it. And I believe that there's people here that are just seeking the Lord and in a place right now where they really need him for something specific. Or maybe it's you're more like me. It's not one thing. It's three or four things that I'm just contending for, right? And so the second thought I had before I even start is that, you know, any firemen in here, anybody who's ever been a fireman or fire lady, there's Joe. Joe's, yep. Bunch of folks here that have been. So have you ever done a controlled burn? Yeah. So I was a fireman for a short period of time, and we did a controlled burn. It's a controlled environment is what it is. And there's parameters. There's nothing that's going to go wrong, right? It's just something that you do so you can learn and develop as a firefighter. But that goes for anything. A controlled environment is an environment where there's safety and an opportunity to learn something. And I think we need to understand that we're living our Christian lives in a controlled environment. And if we know that, if we understand that, it's a whole lot easier. There are safety nets underneath you and me all over the place. Wherever we go, we can fail and fall, and we're going to hit the net, and we're going to be able to get back up and do it again. So it's good news today because it's controlled. God's got things in his hand, and he's going to make sure that we don't fall to an utterly low, unreturnable place. I don't know about you, but we sang the song about his goodness. If you can recall the goodness that he's done in over 40 years, right, Barbara? God has been good. He's never let us down. He's never let me down. And I can go to the bank on that, and I think you can too. I know you can, because our God is a good God, right? We know that life's tough sometimes. I was doing some catch-up on my devotionals. Yesterday I was in Hebrews, and it said Jesus learned obedience by the things he what? Anybody? Suffered. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. So don't think it a strange thing that your faith is tried and that you're suffering. We learn obedience. We learn to be who God has made us to be. And I going back full circle, there's a lot of people here that have a faith that is a beautiful thing, but been in this for a long time and really know God's goodness. And they have experienced that aspect of of suffering to get to where we've gotten. Amen? Amen. I got some glasses here. I'm going to have some help with that. One last thing before I start. This is something that I've noted, again, along these lines. If you have even a sliver of hope, a string, a little ray of light or something like that, that's a message from God. Whatever your situation is, if you've got something, just even the smallest thing that from God that you can grab onto, then that's a good thing. And I've always noted in my low points in my life, there was always something small I could grab onto. And that's the Holy Spirit giving you and I hope. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody today, but make sure that when it's totally dark, that you find that little ray of light. And that's the thing that God has provided for you to grab onto. All right, let's pray today. Father, we thank you that you love us today, Lord, and we come before you today with our open hearts, our open ears, our open eyes, Lord God, and we ask for you to feed us, Lord God. Help us today, Lord, that we know you better, Lord God, that we understand your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start off with James chapter 3. We're going to talk about learning to speak today. And we're going to read in James 3 about the power of the tongue. And it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a little forest, a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water." The tongue is a fire. And that's what we want to talk about. There's so many scriptures, so much that talks about how we speak. And it says in the book of Matthew, verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 37, it says, "By our words we're justified, by our words we're condemned." Proverbs 18:20 says, "By fruit of the mouth, our stomach is satisfied." So many of us do our work, and when however we can conduct ourselves verbally, it has a direct impact on our ability to gain income. And if you think about the power of words, think about people that give speeches, right? There's speech givers that get a lot of money. Like Ben Carson, every time he speaks, he gets like $40,000. $40,000. That's a lot of money. That's like, where's Kevin? Kevin and I were talking. Maybe he's down in Bridge. That's a ton of money, but even goes up. Matthew McConaughey, $135,000 for a speech. Trump or Obama, either one, over $400,000 for a speech. Just using their tongue, right? That's all this, just words that's going off. And then, check this one out. Harry and Meghan, $1 million they get. When they speak, they're going to get paid $1 million. And this is even bigger. Taylor Swift and the Eros, the whole thing that she's, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right. My daughter knows, but she gets $13.6 million every concert that she has. So what's the lesson? The lesson is Harry and Meghan need to bring a guitar next time, right? I think music, yeah, that's it. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I don't know about you, but I have at one point in time, like 3 years ago, I talked somebody out of getting an abortion. And I just heard about the little baby Bentley just 2 days ago. Bentley's 2 years old and walking around and doing fine. So that's death and life in the power of the tongue. You can, what you say to somebody can give a life in this case and do a whole lot more even than that, right? Words are powerful. Mark 11:23, we sang about mountains this morning. Mark 11:23 says, if we say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, we don't doubt in our hearts, but we believe that those things which we say will come to pass. We'll have whatever we say. We can move mountains with the power of our tongue. And it goes in the opposite too, right? We have, anybody ever hear of foot in mouth? I invented it, right? You know how it is when you go up to somebody with a new baby, you say, oh, what's his name? It's Susan. You know, oh, I got the sex wrong, but I should probably, there's a little secret. Look at the clothes. If it's bluish, it's going to be, if it's pink, you don't need my help with that, do you? So, the Bible in Proverbs 17 says, even a fool is considered to be wise if he can keep silent, right? So there's so much happening from here forward that really has an impact on the entirety of our lives. So where is all this coming from? We talked about this, the tongue speaking and expressing and causing, setting fires and everything else it does. Where is it coming from? And the answer is this, Luke 6:45, and I think you can put that up. If you can put Luke 6:45 up, there's birds. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this is where we're driving towards. We're driving towards the heart today. Because your mouth is just going to say the things that your heart is full of, right? Now, I know day in and day out, we speak from our brains, right? Most of us are talking to one another, we're just speaking. But when the pressure builds up, then the heart takes over. And whether it's either good pressure or bad pressure, we transfer from the head to our hearts. And so what's inside comes out, like in a TV. What's inside a TV? TV shows come out, right? What's inside a motor in a car? Power comes out. All of that stuff, food, energy comes out. What's inside a skunk? Yeah, smell comes out of that. The only exception is McGee's wallet, all right? Nothing ever comes out of that. No, I'm just, sorry, Mike, sorry. Hebrews 3:12 talks about an evil heart of unbelief. Proverbs 22:15 talks about foolishness being bound in the heart of a child. Ecclesiastes 10:2, it talks about the heart of the wise versus the heart of a fool. John 7:38 talks about out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. You get the point? There's things that come out of you that create or destroy. It comes out through your tongue. Remember, you can't tame your tongue. So you got to work on your heart, right? Because what's inside is what comes out. Amen? Your heart, when we talk about heart, we're not talking about the organ of your heart, right? We're talking about the real you. It took me a little time to kind of figure out really, what's my heart? When the Bible talks 57 verses about the heart. What's it talking about? It's talking about the real me, who I am, the authentic me. And so we can exchange that, the authentic you or the real you or just you, with the word heart in many of these scriptures. 1 Samuel 16:7 says the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at real you, the real you. Remember that was when Samuel went to look for the next king after Saul. And he looks at Jesse's first son and he says, this is it. And God says, no. He says, this is not the one. You're looking at the outside. I'm looking at the heart, the real you. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God and how it pierces and it goes through and it affects your thoughts and the intents of our hearts, of the real you. Matthew 15:8 says, those are people that honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And so your heart is the real you. It's the authentic you, right? And it's a tough question that I get asked every day, and it sends me into just a whirl of emotions. Somebody asks me, Bruce, how are you? And when I start thinking about how you, me, my goodness, I just start going crazy. I have no idea. There's a hurricane of things that are going on inside. My mind is going crazy. Then I just come out and say, good, you know, or something like that. But I know when people ask, how are you? They're not really asking, how are you? They're just, it's a greeting, right? But still, sometimes it catches me, and I'm like, how do I answer this, right? And maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think so. So we're filled with stuff. We're filled with all kinds of things. I am everything from worry to love. The whole gamut is inside. And it's not easy because so much is thrown at us to pack into our heart. And the picture I got here was Walmart. Any Walmart shoppers? All right, you're in Walmart. And you see people, everybody's got their grocery carts. And the grocery carts start piling up. People's grocery carts, you look at somebody's grocery cart, and you don't want to judge people, right? But what's the riddle I just heard recently? It says, I can tell if somebody's judgmental or not just by looking at them. I don't know. It'll ring in a minute. So anyways, we fill our grocery carts and we go through Walmart and we have stuff and all of a sudden there's stuff in there that you didn't want, you know, and you start, and other people are throwing things in. Sometimes you put stuff in yourself that I don't really want this, and all you have this pile of stuff, and our hearts are like that. We just grab stuff, pull it in. Other people put stuff in it. And before you know it, you've got way more, a heap of stuff that you really can't afford and you shouldn't buy. And so you start, I got to put stuff back. Anybody ever put stuff back at a grocery store? We've all done it. You know, it's a little embarrassing sometimes, but you've got to do that in our hearts. We've got to put stuff back, pull stuff out. The enemy's throwing stuff in there and want to make sure that we have control over that. So actually, you know what? I've got to stop because I want to, speaking of Walmart, I'm going to go back just to lighten it up a little bit. You might be a redneck if, I got to do this. You might be a redneck if you have a complete set of salad bowls and they all say Cool Whip on them. You might be a redneck if your working TV sits on top of your non-working TV. Some of this hits a little close to home, so don't be offended. You might be if a tornado hits your neighborhood and does $1 million of improvements. If you think fast food is hitting a deer at 65, any hunters that haven't got their deer yet? Where's Ron? I'm sure he's got seven. Yeah, Lucas, have you got one yet or not? Not yet. Drive 65 at night. I know, right the road and everything. If you missed your fifth grade graduation because you had a jury duty. Here's the Walmart one. If the biggest city you've ever been to is Walmart, if you have 10 cars in the driveway, but the only thing mobile is your home, if your dad walks you to school because he's in the same grade as you, and this is for you, Mike, again, McGee, if you've ever made change in the offering basket. So, sorry. I warned him. He didn't need to be here today, so. Now I've lost my place. It serves me right, doesn't it? Oh, that's page one. I'm way past page one, aren't I? How you doing? Okay? All right. So we need to work on our hearts. We need to guard our hearts, right? There's not much we can do about this. No man can tame it. So where the work is right inside here, right? We need to transform the real you, the real us. We're coming up to Christmas time, and there's this Grinch and the Scrooge, and they both kind of went through this transformation, right? They're a great illustration of changing on the inside. I think it's the Grinch that the heart grew and grew and grew and grew, right? That's what needs to happen with us. Our hearts need to grow. Our hearts need to change. And so good things come out from inside of us. So we have a fountain of fresh water, right? And good treasure, not evil treasure, right? Since the tongue can't be tamed, the heart has to be, all right? So the real you is what you believe to be true. What's when you get under pressure is where you find yourself, right? It's Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? And in my heart, I still feel like I'm 18 until it's bedtime at 7:30. Anybody go to bed before 7:30 in here? There are a few people, yeah. So you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. The problem is really what we believe to be true. That's what we're drilling in the heart right now. What do we believe to be true? And how we acquire that or get to that place where we have this belief system, this core, the real you, the authentic you, is how we take in information, right? We assess with our five senses. We look at things, we do the math or whatever, and we come to a place where this is what I believe. This is what I think about this. And therefore, we make our life decisions based on that. But the problem is, we should be doing more 2 Corinthians 4, 4:18, where it says, we don't look at things that we can see, but we look at the things that are unseen. This is the shift that we as Christians have. We don't have to succumb to our what we see, what we hear, what we feel. We can succumb to the truth, the Word of God. And I look at it like an Excel spreadsheet. Anybody good at Excel in here? Where are the hands of some people that are good at Excel? You know, you can build a spreadsheet and hide columns 8 through 1,047. And so you go from column 7 to 1,048, and you're missing all this information. And it's kind of like that. We see things, we look at this Excel sheet, and we miss the entire content, the whole body of it. Or it's like any accountants in here. There's an accountant right there. You look at a balance sheet, and you're so zoomed in on the number 4. That's all you can see is the number 4. And really, you got to zoom out. You got to pull back. So you hate that number 4 after a while, because that's all you're looking at. You know what I mean? In your lives, in my lives, we get looking at something and just zeroed right in on it for sometimes days, weeks, months, some people for years. They're so focused in on number 4 or whatever, and they can't see the entire balance sheet, which says it all, which tells the story. So this is very important. I want to help today, hopefully, by getting us to zoom out and see rows 8 through 1,000 or whatever. So stuff that's there, that is in that controlled environment that I talked about, those safety nets, all that stuff is God has built around us. We're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Right now there's we're being watched. And not by Big Brother, but by the guardians of heaven. And they're and if we could only see it, if we could only see it. Let's take a look at a scripture quickly here. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 through 17. And I'll lead up to it. Who was this again? Oh, yeah, Elijah. Elijah and his servant, they're together. The Syrian army were coming after Elijah because Elijah was foiling their plans every time he'd tell them in secret or tell them like it was, give the Israelites a heads up on where the Syrians would be. So the Syrians got mad and they said, we're going to come after you, Elijah. And it says that there was, here it is. And it, when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounded the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And one more. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So if we could just see past this little area that we live in, zoom out from that number 4 and see the big picture, all the rows in the Excel spreadsheet, and we would see horses and chariots of fire all around us. And that's comforting. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to have to do some battle, I want to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is. I want to see that, right? And that's what we're talking about. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And the Bible says we look through a glass darkly. We know that there's difficulty sometimes seeing that army, seeing that those resources of heaven. And this is what I'm driving for today, that we would be able to better have a look of what God has around us to keep us in this controlled environment. This is where faith comes in. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. There it is right there. We're building our faith muscles, the trial of our faith. That's what we're talking about today. We're building up ourselves in the most holy faith. And we're seeing things in a different light than we used to, right? Right, Barbara? After so many years, we look at things different than we did 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago. We should have more rest. We should have more peace. We should have more joy because we see things clearer, right? Romans 4:17 talks about calling those things that are not as though they are. And we used to have, I did this thing with my daughter for a while when she was little, opposite day. Remember opposite day, Spencer? We used to do opposite day. And so I said, Carly, you got to pick up your room. She said, no. I said, it's opposite day, so no means yes. And that didn't really get the job done, but she was always good about picking up her room anyways. We have other children that weren't. But one of them's, oh, never mind. One of them's a good drummer. Did you hear the drums this morning? Anyways, so yeah, I love to see my son playing the drums and other instruments. Isn't it good when our children do well with the Lord, Michelle? It is, isn't it? It really makes a difference. So doing the opposite. Faith starts off with doing the opposite. And it's hard. It's foolish. It's awkward. It's even irrational sometimes. It's very uncomfortable to make a shift when momentum's going the other way against faith. A couple weeks ago, I stopped in the store downtown. It was a Saturday morning. I think it was Saturday, I'm not sure. The weeks have been a little slower lately, but so I'm like, I got to speak into this, you know? So I'm walk into the store, and I knew I needed to say something, but it's just awkward. I just wanted to pray out loud right in front of the employee, our employee, and so I didn't do it, but I came back about a half an hour, and I did it, and it was just awkward. Oh, thank you very much. So you have to start off sometimes speaking it in, and it feels so awkward. It feels irrational, but you've got to start it somehow. You got to prime the pump. And then it moves into something that's greater and stronger until the point where you can actually see it, like Elijah's servant could see it. And when we can see things, when I say see, I mean understand. When we really can see and understand something, then our hearts change. I get this now. Anybody remember math class growing up? I remember taking calculus, and I couldn't get it. And then all of a sudden, I got a little bit, and I could understand something. I'm going, wow, I just got this. And it changes everything. So this is what has to happen. We need to be able to see that he that is for us is greater than he that is against us. We need to be able to see that God's blessing us. And what we have in our life, what we're living out right now, is a blessing. And let's take a look at Genesis. I want to look at a couple verses in Genesis chapter 1. Right from the very beginning. And I want you to, we went from the tongue to the heart back to the eyes, right? We want to see right with our eyes to get it into our heart, and then it comes out our mouth the right way. Then we're speaking right. Sometimes you got to go backwards. Sometimes you got to speak a word of faith, and you have to stir it up. But here it is. And God saw the light, that it was good. What verse is this? Oh, 4. That it was good. Go on to verse 10. Can you bump it up to right? And God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verses 16 through 18. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Anybody see the moon last night? Whoa, last couple of nights have been great. He made the stars also. Verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. What's the next verse I have? 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Yes. Verse 25. God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, right? And one more verse, verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Amen. So he followed everything that he made, and he said, it is good. It is very good. And so I don't know what your situation is today, whether you have, where's Casey? Casey was here. I know he is. Oh, back here. That coworker, it's very good, right? The children that we have that we're praying for that are in a spot, we need to change how we see our children. Very good. Our job situation, we need to be able to see. My job is good. This is good. I'm struggling on this a little bit right now, but This is very important, how you see things, how I see things. I thought this morning, I was talking to somebody. I worked for General Motors. I was talking with Mike and Vonda. Worked for General Motors for almost 10 years. It was hard. It was really hard. I was a supervisor. I think I've made every mistake in the book. I was a terrible supervisor at first. And I don't even know if I was that good at the end of it. But it was still good. It was good. I've had tough jobs, but it was good. And if we see things a certain way, it makes a big difference. And, you know, how many people understand that one person can look at something entirely different than another person looks at it? One person views it as wonderful, and the other person, yesterday, my grandchildren all came over. We're in the middle of moving. I got a bunch of stuff piled up, and there's four little grandchildren around me in the kitchen. I'm trying to move stuff around, and out falls the ice container, and there's ice all over the place. And in my heart, I'm thinking about this very thing. And I'm going, this is hard for me right now. But for my wife, when the grandchildren come over, it's glorious, right? No matter what happens. And there's always events and things that happen that are just bonkers when the grandchildren are here. Anybody can relate to that. But it's good, right? It's good. The Cardinals' business. Wow. What you're going through? Can you see that it's good? Can you see that it's good? And we've got to maintain that perspective that we're able to see that it's good, see and understand, right? I've got a close friend. She's divorced. She's younger, not that close of a friend, but she's got some kids. She's been divorced for a number of years, and she's down and out all the time. And I look over at her, and I'm going, you've got it made. She's got a good job, great children, and yet she can't get out of this number four, looking at that number four for so long. And if she could only just zoom out and say, I've got it good, because she does. And how many of us are like that? How many of us are blinded? We can't see all the rows in the middle, and we just look at stuff that's difficult day in and day out. God wants us to see that things are good. Can you play the video? You got that video queued up?
I don't wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I may fall down on my face. Lord, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a beautiful day, hey, hey. Lord, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain. Thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, yeah, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
It's a feel-good thing, isn't it? It is good. It's good. God's in control. We're living in a life that He has guaranteed that He will complete that which He's begun in each of our lives. It's a guarantee. He said it. I will do it. Jesus bragged once. He said, I have not lost one. And that's what He's saying when He's looking at you. I'm not going to lose you. I'm holding you. And it is good. What you're going through right now, Sarah brought us right to that. Thanks, guys. Sarah brought us right to that place where I know that we're at today. Things are tough for some of us right now. But understand, when we see things, when we can zoom out, when we see that it is good. When we say, I see this, is this good? And it makes the difference. Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and look. So I'm saying today, lift up your eyes and look. See this today. Ephesians 1, 18, the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. Joshua 6, 2, God said to Joshua, see, and He's talking about lands and everything that He has for us. Amen. When we can see the good, and we get there through, again, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, a little bit of fasting here and there, it won't hurt, right? And it makes all the difference in the world. That's Christianity 101. If any football players, it all comes back down to blocking and tackling. We got to be good at some basic things. We got to be good at blocking and tackling if you're going to win football games. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to be good at Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and those things. And those are the things that help us so that we see. And if we live them out for years and years and stay with that, and we'll start to talk differently. And any mature Christians, for you younger Christians, you know you've got mature Christian friends that you get around, and they are like rocks, right? They're the ones with 1,000 horsepower that we're talking about because they've lived this out. They've through suffering, they've endured, and they've been developed into what God has, what we see today. And that's for all of us today. So let's see. And I think what we'll do today, if you guys want to start playing, I'd like to have an altar call if we could. And it goes back to the 2 Kings scripture that we were just reading, where Elijah's servant was, he's like, alas, what do we do? And if you're in that position today where you're like, I don't know what to do. And the Bible says Elisha prayed. And just what Julie was talking about, right? The word of the Lord for today, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So we got people that can come forward today and that can pray so that we change how we see, and we can see this host of the army of the Lord around us taking care of us and ensuring that we're not going to fall to the ground and be utterly destroyed. Amen. So let's just pray together, and we'll have these folks sing, and I'm going to let you guys close if you don't mind. But go ahead. Father, we thank You today, Lord, that You love each and every one of us. You love us so much, so much, Lord God. The depths of who we are, Lord, I pray that each person would feel Your acceptance and Your presence today, Lord God. And Lord, that we would know You. The fellowship, Lord God, that we have with You would be sweet, would be good. I pray blessing over everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week, and have a blessed day.